Hey everyone, this episode is brought to you by HostGator. Now, you get me a dozer and some dirt, and I could build you an RC runway pretty easily. Give me an FT swappable, and I could put it all together and fly it no problem. Hey, ask me to start a website or something? I don't know about that, but guess what? With HostGator, it's pretty simple. If you want to start a blog or website, it's easy with one-click installers for popular open-source programs like WordPress or Drupal. Need something even easier? HostGator has drag-and-drop website builders. Their shared hosting service is optimized around WordPress so your blog always loads fast. And hey, guess what? They got 24/7 support staff that's always available whenever you need them. HostGator can help you easily get your own website started for just a few dollars a month. Install WordPress with one click or use their easy-to-use website builder. And guess what? Use the coupon code FLIGHTTEST and get 30% off. And if we see your website, we're probably going to talk about it on the show. So check them out, HostGator.com. All right, everyone. For this episode, it's kind of special. It's a two-parter. Now, I want to give you a little rundown on this episode. We did our first podcast review on the Ultra Micro Radian, and we were pretty excited about it. And we thought we would get you guys involved and do a live podcast, take your phone calls and questions on it, and I was pretty excited. I listened a lot to your comments on the one we had before, so we got my son in here, got another computer, and we were going to do the call screening for you and get your questions, and I tested it a few times. It worked great. I was really excited to do it. Now, when we got here and started setting up, we realized we had no internet connection. So I'm going to pull the curtain back here a little bit and let you in and let you know that we almost pulled the plug on this one. Within, I think, 4 minutes to go live, we were debating whether to even try to do this. But I said, you know what, let's just go for it. With no internet connection, David, we tried using a hotspot on David's phone. We weren't even sure if it was going to work or not, so it was a 50-50 gamble. So we just said, heck with it, let's go for it, and we did. Now, I think the podcast review went pretty well. Now, the problem was, and we didn't realize this till later, everybody out there, I guess, could hear us fine. Our problem was, when we took the calls, we couldn't hear you, and it was very broken up. So some of this stuff I had to edit out. I apologize to Mike in Australia and Chris from down in Louisville. We appreciate your calls and everything, but it was just too tough to understand you. But we went ahead and steamrolled through it, and I think the actual review is pretty good, and we can still take your questions on the Ultra Micro Radian. But the cool thing is, this is kind of a bonus episode. Not only do you get the review, but we also decided to come down. We took David out to breakfast Saturday morning, and we all decided to come into the studio before his little party. And we just wanted to sit down and share the memories and the fun stuff and thoughts with David since he's leaving here in a couple days. So actually, by the time you hear this, David will already be back in Sweden, probably cranking around some DLGs. But I think it's a pretty good podcast overall. And so I'll quit rambling here, and we'll get you going. So sit back, relax, and here we go.
Hey, and welcome to the After Hours podcast. Today we have Wayne here, and
hey guys.
Chris is also here, but he's running around trying to get the color screening to work. So we're having some technical issues with our internet connection. It's actually completely down. So we're running this through a phone, so we have no idea how that's going to work. We'll see. It's going to be interesting. So this past weekend, we went out and tried something new for you guys, at least.
Yes, we got to do the KA8. Those were so much fun.
The K8 from Horizon Hobby, the Park Zone, or what's the E-Flight? E-Flight K8? Good question. We're looking around. Oh, it's not here.
No.
It's the Horizon Hobby K8 glider, and it's a German glider, based on a German glider, and it's It's a really nice looking glider.
Yeah, and the bungee launch was fun.
Yeah, that so was... we had a high start, and it was also from eFlight. It was from last year, which we used on a flight test episode. And how was that, your first experience?
That was nerve-wracking in the beginning, but there's nothing to it. Once, just let it go. I mean, just don't overcompensate. Just keep it straight, and it went fine.
So how does it look when you release that? Because you walk back, and it's...
Oh, yeah.
To explain what it is, it's a huge, long bungee cord, which is usually made out of surgical tubing. And what you do is you have the surgical tubing, and then you have an even longer piece of rope attached to that, and you walk backwards. And we were at Chad's house, and we walked the whole field behind the tracks and everything. It's really long. You need a huge place.
Yeah, when I was standing up by Chad's house, I was going to take a picture of you guys, but you disappear over the edge of the hill.
Yeah.
And all I could see was the top of the airplane.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. It wasn't the optimal place to stand to launch it, but it worked fine.
It worked great, yeah.
So what you do, there's a lot of tension on that rope, and you release the plane at a 45 degree angle, and it just shoots like a rocket.
Yes.
So that's how you do it, but it's kind of nerve-wracking the first time if your plane is not set up properly.
Yes.
So the first flight each year is always really fun, because what you have to do is you trim it out, just launching it by hand, just into the wind, try to trim it out so it's neutral at all times, and then you can try the high start. And like, you didn't have to touch anything really, like on the sticks.
No, it was just keep it straight. Like you said, don't do anything, just keep it straight. And it went up. I mean, it did it all on its own. So
yeah, the difference between towing and high launching or bungee launching is that during a normal aero tow, you never ever touch the rudder.
Mm-hmm.
Huge no-no. Only aileron. Keep the plane level, and the turn is going to be initialized by the towing plane. Here, it's the opposite. Do not ever touch the ailerons.
Yeah.
It's just a rudder.
Yes.
So you just rudder it up, and there's like a lag time between when you input it and when it actually does something.
Right, and you had the tendency to overcompensate. So those first couple launches, I noticed I was around a little bit. But after a while, you learned to, just a little one, get off of it quick. And it went up pretty straight.
Yeah. How high do you think we got? It was pretty high.
Yeah, it was up there, 150, 200 feet,
yeah.
You think?
Yeah, 200, yeah. Roughly, in the beginning at least, because the bungee system, which only was 1 year old, and we used it maybe 10 or 20 tows before that, and we stored in a cold environment inside of a plastic bag up on the in the rafters of flight test. So it never saw any sun or anything. Took it out. We maybe had 50 more launches on it, and it broke.
Right.
So that was the Horizon one, and reading the reviews on everywhere, on their site and everywhere, it says it's only good for one season and it breaks.
This one didn't even last one season, so.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. But on the other hand, it launched pretty high, and it was consistent until it broke.
And then I cheated and just broke out my Radian, so.
Yeah. Oh, also, you had the SK-21 Mini UMix. And you had a little, that was the cutest high launching system, the bungee system.
That was funny.
It's like a sawing, like a thread sawing, what's that?
Now? Sewing?
Sewing, yes. Mm-hmm. Sewing, like one of those rolls, and it's just a long rubber band.
Right.
It's gorgeous. And you got some pretty good altitude.
Yeah, that was pretty fun. That was pretty good getting it up there. Of course, it was a little too bumpy for that little guy, because it was a little windy. The KA-8s were okay with it, but that little ASK is not so much. So
yeah, it was a really nice day. There wasn't that many thermals, so it was a little harder.
Yeah.
The K-8, what do you think? How is that comparing to like the Radian?
The Radian's a lot easier because it's more forgiving because you have a motor.
Right.
And I still need that crutch. I'm not nowhere near good enough to really keep it up and you know, I make too many mistakes.
I don't think you do. No, when I watch it, I mean, we can do much better. Yeah. You had barely used the motor when you were up. It was just to get altitude.
Right.
So it was, you used it more or less the same. I think you are doing better than you think.
I had a lot of fun when you and Chris went over the hill, and then I took my radio, and I was actually bringing it in, so I was bringing it around the backside of the hill.
Yeah.
Well, I've seen this bird out there, so I thought, well, we'll see what he's gliding on. So I took off and flew up there, and he decided to join me. So he just sat there, and he circled with me, and we circled for probably 5-10 minutes.
Yeah, you specked it out.
Then it was like, okay, time to bring it back.
Yeah.
Because it was way downwind, so I would have had to really fight it back. So
yeah, it's funny, over at Chad's place, the topography is there's like the yard you normally see, and then there's the track, and then behind that track there's a hill that slopes down, and then there's trees. That slope there is terrible when it comes to, it just sucks mm-hmm. you down. It just kills all the lift, everything. But if you can penetrate over that, there's great amount of lift because it's a valley.
Yeah.
So it's pretty awesome. And here's Chris.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Doing a podcast.
What were you talking about?
KAA.
Oh, yeah. I was just out there trying to get my son there, get him used to the screening. So if we have any calls or anything, he kind of knows what to do. We'll see how that goes. But yeah, that was fun that day. That was really the first day. You know, I got to use a high start. And
yeah, how was your first experience? I already talked a little bit with the...
You know, I really liked it. Well, here's the thing. I've been hesitant with that thing because of, you know, a lot of people on the forums, you know, they don't like the, you know, the CG and it doesn't fly very well and blah, blah, blah. But as you guys know, when I got there, I shoved that battery all the way in. I didn't add no weight. And I was like, you know what? We're just going to fly it like that. And it turned out, I thought it did pretty good. And even in fact, I think you later in the day, didn't you take some weight out of yours?
I did, because even though it's a little bit more squirrely, you get better thermal performance because the CG is pushed back. You get more lift in the center.
Right.
And yeah, but the weird thing is we went out and tried it before we shot the episode a long time ago.
Right.
And it was horrible.
Exactly, and that's what had me so worried, and plus with all the negative comments that I've seen on the forums about the CG, I mean, some guys are going from, I think stock is supposed to be, what, 73 or 75?
Yeah.
Some guys were going all the way up to 50 before Ooh. They felt that it was flying okay.
Really?
And so, you know, I was at 75, and we did the initial throw, and it was, it seemed a little squirrely, but I thought, you know what, let's just try it. And by the end of the day, I thought it flew great, and yeah. I liked the CG in that position.
Yeah, it was interesting because usually on the high start you get a little bit more altitude as well when you do CG further back, so it climbs a little higher.
Right.
To be honest, I didn't feel that much difference between the. I ran mine at like 65 at the beginning of the day. I probably pushed it back to 70.
Right.
But I couldn't feel. It wasn't that much squirrelier, yours.
Yeah. The only thing I think I might have noticed is on launch with the CD a little farther forward, it seemed a little more steady and it tracked a little better, maybe.
Yeah.
Or that could have just been my flying, too. I don't know.
Maybe it doesn't fishtail as
much. Yeah. But, you know, for the overall experience, I was really impressed. With that.
So how was it the first time when we released the glider up on the high start?
It was a little nerve-wracking because, you know, you got that thing stretched out to the limit and you're trying to hold the plane, you know, and you're like, okay, it's either do or die mm-hmm. kind of, and you're like, boom, there it goes, and it's, you know, it's out of your hands at that point. But I'd say after my fifth or sixth time, you know, and getting the routine down, and it wasn't bad at all. I actually started to enjoy it. And here's the other thing I didn't realize until probably the day after. That is good exercise.
It is.
Like yesterday, really is. I'm at work. I'm like, man, my legs are a little sore. Because sometimes, like, I know, I think you caught a thermal or something. You're like, oh, there's a thermal. I'm running over trying to get it, you know, pull it back real quick and get it in the air. So, yeah, it was good exercise.
It really is, because every time it goes up, that parachute on the end of the line, it sails down with the wind. So you have to walk really far, and then you pick it up, and you have to drag it mm-hmm. all the way. And you're putting tension on that line all the time.
Yeah.
And when you do it 50 times, 100 times yeah. a day, that's pretty
right.
good.
Right. So I thought that was pretty cool too. So again, it kind of boils back to what we've talked about before. There's been several times I've gotten a plane and like, I don't think I'm going to like this or well, you know, and you stick with it and you learn more about it and you fly it more. And then pretty soon it becomes one of your favorite planes.
Yeah. Now there is an unfair advantage to it because we were two people, and Wayne was there. So we were three people flying
right.
all together,
yeah.
having fun. If you were on your own, I'm not sure that plane would have been as much fun because flying together and trying to stay up and find the lift and
right.
So
I agree. You definitely would have to have somebody with the same plane or another glider of some sort. Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
To make it a little bit.
Cause, yeah.
Yeah. I don't see myself owning that plane on my own.
Right.
Just.
But I'm kind of the same way with the gliders. A lot of times, like if I'm going to go out flying and I know Wayne's not coming, I won't take my Radian.
Really?
No. Ah. Very rarely. But if I know Wayne's coming, we're bringing the Radians. It's just for me, it's so much more enjoyable. Plus, you know, not that we're competitive at all, but you know, you get that little oh, he's yeah. coming down. I got to find some more. You know, it's
it more. Actually yeah, it does. It makes it so much more fun.
Right.
Like the only glider I actually fly on my own usually is the discus launch gliders because
mm-hmm.
that's a challenge mm-hmm. and you perfect your technique all the time. Then it's just bonus to fly with other people.
Right, but, right.
But like this, the KA, I would say it's a social plane.
Yeah, yeah. So, all right. Well, hey, enough of that. Let's get on the subject of what we really are here for today, which is the eFlight Ultra Micro Radian that I know Wayne and I, and probably you, have been very excited. And we finally, each one has had one in our hands. I've done quite a bit of flying. I know Wayne has, and I think you have too.
Yeah,
and
some hours.
And we really haven't talked about it or, you know, seen each other. So this is going to be all new and, you know, first-person perspective here of what you think. So, but Wayne, your initial thoughts of it, like once you got it and you pulled it out of the box and everything, what did you think of it?
That it was really cute.
Yeah.
It's like, man, check him out, just a baby Radian.
Right.
But yeah, I really liked it. And I know there was some concern about taking the wing off and stuff, but that thing's so little, that wing will never come off.
Yeah.
Of course, I got a big SUV.
What issue or like what concern?
Well, the little screws. Some guys were afraid of the little screws, so they were going to mount magnets
right.
in there so they can take it in and out.
Okay.
And then you had the wear and tear of taking it out,
yes,
and putting it back
I
in.
Agree.
Because it's not a real big beefy wing,
right.
but it shouldn't be because it's a little micro. But
right.
So yeah, I noticed when I opened mine, it was like a Depron wing.
Yeah.
It's not the typical Z-Foam or Elipor.
No. And it's just like the typical Horizon micros. I mean, I think all the micros are out of like that Depron type, you know, for weight, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I was really kind of amazed at how light it actually was.
Oh, very.
You know, when
nice.
I had it in my hands and how really thin the airfoil was mm-hmm. on it, you know?
It is super thin.
Yeah. But again, you know, a lot of guys were complaining about the wing not being removable. Like you said, they were doing the magnet mods on it already. Because a lot of them wanted to transport it in the box. Because the box is
right.
pretty
yeah.
cool
yeah.
that
it's
it comes
nice
in.
Box. Keeps it from getting smashed up. But I do understand that. Dude.
Right.
Yeah. So you guys are just going to keep it in one piece then?
I am. I'm not going to take it out.
I'm probably going to end up doing the magnet mod.
Magnet
or
mod.
Something, because I need to be able to put it in the,
in the box. Now, quick question, and I don't know if this has anything to do with it. A couple of the guys said that they were having problems with their board after they did the magnet mod. Is that possible? Would that affect the board in a way, the magnets being that close to it?
I mean, it shouldn't.
I wouldn't think.
Yeah, but I wonder what they're using for magnets.
Yeah, because there shouldn't be a magnetometer on that board. It should be accelerometers and gyros only, and the magnets are not moving, so it shouldn't create any current or anything. Mm. So it's kind of weird. I can't believe them, but it sounds a little bit weird.
Yeah.
I wouldn't think that.
A couple of guys on RC groups, I thought they did a phenomenal job with the magnet mod. I mean, you know, it's very simple, you know, but look professional looking, you know.
So the specs on this thing, how big is it?
Ooh, that's a good question. The exact specs I probably couldn't tell you, but I'm sure Wayne can look that up real quick.
But if you hold it in your hand, it's like two palms. big, like now a little bit more.
Yeah, I was going to say it's. I want to say it's a high 20 something inch wingspan, 26, 28, somewhere around there.
Hmm. Yeah,
we'll look it up and see.
It is super cute. Yeah. It's so tiny, and the surfaces are pretty small. And I had, when I pulled it out, I had troubles with my elevator was not level.
Okay.
So first flight, full trim is still climbed.
But you didn't like turn it on and adjust the little.
I didn't. I didn't read the manual. Yeah. I didn't do anything.
Gotcha.
So.
Because I don't think I've had any of their ultra micro planes where I pulled it out of the box, bound it, and the flight control surfaces were level. You know, have to tinker with them.
So that's a good tip, though. Right. Anyone, it is a true bind and fly. You don't have to change like don't have to reverse anything.
No.
I didn't have to add any expo. I didn't have to do anything.
Right.
It was just bind it and fly it, really. But leveling the control surfaces very important.
Right.
Yeah, the wingspan is 28.7 inches or 730 millimeters, 1.5 ounces.
Man,
that's why it was so little.
I couldn't believe how light that thing was. And my first thoughts, too, was feeling how light it was. Even though it has the AS3X, I didn't think it was going to take much wind. I really didn't. But so far, I've had it in like 8 gusting to 13 or 14, and it actually took it pretty well. I was actually amazed by that.
Me too. I was pleasantly surprised by how much wind it took. It's fast. It's actually really fast when it's completely – there's no air movement. It zips around pretty good.
Right.
And I noticed that under full power, it does an outside loop. Pretty good.
Oh my.
It does aerobatics pretty well.
Really? You got an outside loop out of that
thing? Yeah. So if you have the motor's pretty powerful.
Yeah.
I mean, it climbs pretty good.
Right.
It flies on a 1-cell 150.
Right.
E-flight battery. Sounds a little tired after a bit. It's like when you first start it up, it's like whee.
Yeah.
And you take it off and like
right. And I noticed in like about 12 mile an hour wind, full throttle, it instead of progressing forward, it would just straight up.
It's weird. It looks like an elevator.
Yeah, exactly. That was pretty cool.
Now, Wayne, what did you think your first flight? How was it?
Oh, I liked it a lot. Now, the only thing that for me is the AS3X board being on all the time. So, of course, the way I am, I ordered the programmer. And
oh, you did?
Yes.
Nice.
And now I can turn off that board whenever I want to. So.
Oh, how was that then? What's the difference?
Well, I was telling Chris, I said, I had it out yesterday, and it was a little bit windy. But I was able to get it up, so I'd run it without the AS3X, and it'd glide really, really nice. But I noticed that when I turned it on, it would come down. It wouldn't stay up as long, that it had a tendency to – it looked like it – you know, and again, it was very bumpy. So I'm thinking that it kept compensating, and every time it compensated, it would bring it down lower and lower, where when I turned it off – it would float, so it wouldn't compensate, and it just kept going up and up and up.
It just makes sense. It's such a tiny plane, too, and every control surface movement you do, you're going to rob it of power.
Yeah.
And I did notice that, too. However, I noticed with the board on, it slopes crazy good.
Mm-hmm.
Like it, because it just tracks. You don't have to worry about it. It just stays straight in there. So if you find a steady upstream somewhere, it sits there. It doesn't do anything. It just sits there. It's kind of cool. But I wish the AS3X was on a switch.
Yeah. And that's what I turned it on.
You can do that?
When I programmed it,
oh,
yeah, you plug in and program it, and now it's on my gear switch.
Oh,
so, yeah, I don't know why it doesn't come as a default, because it's really easy to do. You pull it up, you read your settings, you check mark the box, and upload it back to the board, and hey, let's go fly.
Oh, sweet. So
now you do have to surgery. You got to open this thing up to get to the board, but
I'll bring mine over.
Oh yeah,
because I really want that. Because so you felt it gave you better performance.
Yeah, I liked it a lot better. I felt it stayed up a lot easier without it on.
How was it then? Like, did it get? Did it push it around much? Like, it did it turn easier or?
Yeah, it turned very easy, and that was one of the things. It felt like it would kind of fight you on some of the turns.
Yeah.
At least it felt like that way to me, and so when I turned it off, it was like, okay, it's all me, so I like that.
Yeah, because I noticed during the thermal hunting I did, you have to whip it around pretty quick because you're so close to the ground that the thermals are so narrow in their shape, because they're usually a funnel shape. So when you get in there, you have to whip it pretty hard, and you have to be pretty hard on the sticks, and those things, it wiggles a lot and just eats up the energy.
Well, when I was out flying yesterday, it was a little bit bumpy, so I was able to get it out over the parking lot, and it was full sun, and boy, I caught some updrafts and some thermals coming off of there, but that thing would spec real quick.
Yeah, I was going to say, when it does get something, it goes really quick.
Yeah, definitely it does. So would you recommend getting the cable then?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. For people like me, I definitely like it.
How much was the cable?
$9.
Yeah.
Really?
$9. Yeah.
Huh. They should include that in the kit.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah,
it's pretty bad.
Yeah, everybody out there, we're having when we got here, the whole internet was actually down.
Yeah, so we're on an iPhone running the internet share over the LTE.
Right. And we weren't even sure we were going to do anything tonight. So we thought, we'll just give it a shot and we'll see what happens. So.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll get a couple more phone calls and get this thing working. Hey, Wayne, I was going to ask you, there's been a few times if maybe I got into a light thermal and the AS3X was, really trying to control it. I was like, it was that maybe just a gust, or was I actually maybe trying to, with the AS3X on, I think sometimes it might be a little difficult.
I thought it was really difficult to read the plane. Unless the whole thing is bobbing,
yes, and then it takes off, right?
Because usually when you enter a thermal, you see the one wing kick up or the tail push up. Mm-hmm. You see it bump around a little bit more in the air, but the AS3X is actually so good at compensating that you kind of, it's a little difficult to read it, in my opinion. I mean, it's still fine. I was up completely stock with the AS3X on it. I was up for an hour on a battery, no problem. It does get small real quick.
Yes.
How many climbs do you get out of the battery? Do you know? Did anyone count?
No, but I know they're saying you're supposed to get roughly like 10 minutes out of it, but I know we've got sometimes probably 20 minutes. It just depends on how long you. I think I got 5 or 6 pretty good climbs out of it.
Yeah, that's roughly what I got too. Five or six really good climbs.
Right. And again, just depending on how long you stay up.
Yeah.
We were probably averaging maybe 10 minutes, but again, it wasn't a really good day. I think I got, the other day I went out Saturday and got about 20 minutes was my best so far.
Yeah. I parked it over the house and it was sat there, same elevation for 10 minutes.
Wow.
Easy.
Wow.
It was just perfect. It was so steady. But yeah, I wish it came on the switch.
Yeah, I agree.
What do you think about the stock CG on the Radian?
That's kind of funny because we first started flying. I went all the way back. The battery was in all the way in the back.
Really?
And I had a little bit of the porpoising going on for a while until I got that straightened out. But then I noticed the other day when it was pretty windy, I actually went up into the center.
Yeah.
And it worked pretty good on the windy days in the center.
I did center all the time.
All the time?
Yeah. What did you do,
Wayne? Mine's more towards center. And when it was really windy, I even moved it forward a little bit more from there.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Not so good from the back. I know, because I've seen some guys that are talking about even shoving it even further back.
Really?
And yeah, there was one guy who was talking about, he gouged
carved some
it
foam out.
Yeah. And moved it even further back. And I can't imagine, but.
It flew really good on the stock CG. I think, you can push it back to get a little bit better lift, but I think it's much more efficient turning off the AS3X to start with.
Yeah, and now again, could be just me. It seemed like when I had the battery all the way back, it just had a little bit better glide angle, a little slower.
Because
I could tell it seemed to be in the middle, you had that little bit, carry a little bit more speed.
And I think every time I've ever flown, though, it's been windy. So I haven't had any really good, just calm thermal days.
Yeah.
I haven't had that yet. So that may change where, if we're doing some gentle thermal hunting, maybe moving it back might be okay.
But the nice thing is it's so easy to
change it
because it's on the bottom and it's just Velcro.
Right. Yeah. So. And I heard a couple things about some of the guys were concerned because the battery was on the bottom. landing. They're like, oh, it's going to hit the battery and tear the battery.
It doesn't weigh anything.
I know, exactly. And I'm like, I don't think we're going to have any problems with that. Yeah. It doesn't even matter.
1.5 ounces. There's not much going to happen there.
Right.
So the second question he had, I think it was if we're going to have something, a meeting before I go back to Sweden.
Oh, yeah.
Is it still on the line?
Yeah.
Was it Chris? Can
yes.
you hear me?
Yep. Hang on.
Hey, Chris, can you hear me?
Yep, I can.
So can you take the second question real quick?
You have together before.
Nope. Didn't get it.
No.
Sorry, Chris. With this, we're having all kinds of technical difficulties with the internet. And it's not at our end. For some reason, we got a really windy day here, and their internet is down all over the place. So we got all kinds of problems. But we appreciate the question. Thank you. All right. I guess we'll skip that part.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a shame.
I know. Always something. Every time we get something going, always technical difficulties.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Anyway, if we're going to have something. We're working on getting a venue for getting together, doing like an open house or something before I go back.
Good.
I'm going to get something up on Facebook tomorrow.
Good.
At the latest. So,
hey, maybe some other questions somebody out there is, say they just started flying or you know, they're just have a trainer right now. And has been thinking about buying like maybe a regular Radian or something, but don't have the space. And now we have this Ultra Micro Radian come out. Do you think it's good for a beginner?
Good question. Yes and no. It's pretty forgiving. Tracks well.
Mm-hmm.
With the A3X, it's pretty good. It's forgiving. However, you can get into trouble pretty easy with it if you bang the stick, especially on the power,
because
it is very automatic on the power.
Right.
And the wing isn't that, like, doesn't take that much of a beating. Like, it gets, it's considering, I mean, it's a pretty big plane for the material.
Right.
So the wing I can see being banged up.
Yeah. Now, my thinking is, and I could be wrong on this, is generally, when Horizon puts something out, if it's a eFlight product, it's more of the, not advanced, but at least intermediate, where if it's Park Zone, it's more towards a beginner-ish, just becoming an intermediate. So I'm guessing since they put it under the eFlight name that they're leaning it towards a more, you know, somebody has a little more experience.
Yeah, I would think so. I wouldn't tell anyone to buy this as a first plane. So quick review then. Wayne, what's your thoughts?
I love it.
You do?
Absolutely, yeah. And this thing, and I wasn't sure if I can fly it in my front yard because I have a very small front yard.
Yeah.
But after flying it yesterday, I'm pretty confident I can do okay, especially when the roof starts heating up and I can get up over the house.
Nice. So would you recommend people buying it?
Oh, yeah, in a heartbeat.
Nice.
Now the big push now is the push. To see if they'll make a 100-incher.
Oh.
So we want a 100-inch Radian.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I know I've been pushing for that, and a lot of guys on the forums have been pushing for that.
That would be sweet.
Now, real quick, though, you know, we hit a lot of pluses with this thing. What are some of the minuses with it that you guys have found? Anything?
Yeah, the AS3X.
The AS3X?
Yeah, for me. But if you buy the cable and can, but then you have to open the thing. And
well, it's just scotch tape, so.
Yeah, still. I would prefer it to have it on the switch.
Yes.
To start out
by
with.
By default.
Yeah, that would be nice. Other negatives? I mean, it's pretty solid.
Right. I'll give you one I kind of thought of. And again, it's not so much the plane, it's kind of, I guess, the size of it. It reminded me a little bit of like my Elf. If there are some thermals around, if you do get in them, it does pretty well. But if there is sink, it really sinks.
It does.
So that's kind of what I noticed with it.
Yeah, and the problem is you have a boundary layer between, you have the sink air before you get into the big thermals.
Right.
And that's pretty powerful sometimes. And I noticed it had some problems penetrating that, especially with the AS3X, it would kind of not want to go into it. Kind of when you push it, it didn't want to, it wouldn't stick in it. Like, it was different compared to what I wish it was.
Right.
But when you get through it, it shoots up like a rocket.
Right, right. And that's probably the only other thing is if you do get a booming thurible, you really got to keep your eyes on it because it will go up extremely fast.
Yeah, you have to dive it pretty hard.
Right, right. And yeah. I haven't heard anything. Like, I thought at first, like, looking, like, feeling it and looking at the wing and everything, and it does have a spar in it.
Yeah.
But I thought, man, if you get into some heavy turbulence or get into a dive, I thought for sure that wing would just fold up.
It's so light.
But yeah, like you said, it's so light.
It is. The wing is kind of, it felt like kind of brittle. Like, if you land in really hard grass, it will bang up the wing. There's no surface protection or anything, and once that wing like kind of dents a little bit, it stays that way.
Right,
and that's where I think it wouldn't be a good for a beginner. You want something that can take a hit.
Yeah,
and I'm not sure if I'd want to put this thing in too many hits.
Yeah, it's definitely you want to keep it clean and get the performance out of it because the wing will not perform as good as if you put stuff on it.
Right. The other good thing, real quick too, I noticed, and some of the other guys said, you know, they put the little wheel, the landing wheel on the bottom. And
really?
Yeah, so you didn't notice the little wheel on the bottom?
No.
Okay, so they have the little wheel on the bottom. No, I take it back. I'm sorry, not the wheel, the little plastic skid.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, so they have the little plastic skid. So the other thing they do is you just put a little piece of tape on the tail because it's got the little extended piece.
Yeah.
So if you want to land on pavement or a hard surface, you're okay.
Mm,
you know,
nice.
As long as you land level and you're not, you know, driving the wing into the pavement, I think you're, you know, should be okay.
It's pretty easy catching.
Yeah. I've been catching it a lot lately. Yeah, too.
Yeah, it's pretty nice. So what do you think then? Review vice.
I really like it. It's something I've always wanted because, like, the other morning I walked out my front door. I had my cup of coffee in my hand. I sat down on my porch, sitting down, launched it, went up 200-300 feet and sat there and just cruised around in the morning and just like,
nice.
Where else can I do this?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And flew for 10 minutes, came down, landed in my front yard, put another battery in it, back up I went. So the convenience for that, you know, like in the morning on the weekends or if you get home later at work, you don't want to pile all the planes in the truck or whatever and head out to the flying field. The convenience of it is amazing.
Yeah.
And thermals well. You know, there really isn't too many bad things about it.
So.
And price-wise.
Yeah, what's the price?
For $89, you know, and that's retail. You might even be able to find it cheaper other places. But for $89, thing shows up with everything ready to go. You bind it to any Spectrum radio, and you're good.
How much is a normal Radian?
The plug-and-play, I think, is like $159.
Okay. That's pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty cheap,
that's
too.
That's a pretty big, nice plane.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
If you can afford it, and if you're looking for a glider, and you don't want a small thing, get the normal Radian.
Right.
Oh, most definitely.
But if you're looking for something small, then this is by far the best small glider I've tried. It is phenomenal.
Right.
I mean, it looks cool.
Right.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, it has the nice colors to it. Flies around good. It's much faster than I thought, like when it's still. And
it handles the wind way better than I thought.
Yeah.
That was a big plus. You know, you don't have to worry about it being 5 miles an hour. You know, like I said, I had it in, I think, 12, maybe even 14 by the midday. And, it was bouncing around, don't get me wrong, but it handled it, you know, no problem. I was slope soaring with it, you know, thermaling off the roofs. So
yeah, it really does slope better than a thermal, so
right.
In my opinion.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's especially with, because I never flown it without the AS3X, because the AS3X, like, kind of, it's too dominating when you do the thermals, in my opinion.
Right.
It's fine, but I like it when it's pure. So
right,
you feel the air.
I agree.
But for sloping, it's fantastic.
Yes.
Because it just sits there.
Yes.
Even if you get a little gust, it just stays.
So stays right there.
Yeah, you just let the sticks go and it just sits there.
Right.
It's crazy awesome. And it doesn't need that much air up movement for it to stay. So I can see myself bringing this to the beach.
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And just sitting there, little sand dunes.
Right.
Just tossing it a little bit, just gliding up and down.
Right.
It does turn pretty good.
Yes, it does.
It has pretty good control ability, but you need it. When you have the motor on, it's touchy. Like the elevator and that, you can do loops and all that. But when you're like in still air, you really need that. So it's well set up. It's well thought out.
Right. And it really kind of acts just like the bigger Radian. Like when you hit that power, it just instantly, you know, climbs up. You don't really have to do anything.
Oh, really? Mine didn't climb.
It didn't? Really?
No, mine goes straight.
No kidding. Now, see, move your battery back.
Yeah. Mine went straight when but it was windy.
Oh, okay.
But it went, I tossed it and it was just rocket straight forward.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, the other flight I did, the first flight I did, I had the CG further back and it would climb. So that's right. Yeah, it's probably that.
So overall, we're going to say that this is a hit.
If you would give a number, 1 to 10.
I would say an 8.
And
yeah, pretty solid 8.
Yeah, I would actually 8 as well. Yeah.
Okay. So I guess we all probably agree then the best thing to do if you're on the fence with the AS3X, go out and buy the programmer.
Yep. Yeah, for $9.
Yep. Program it for on or off. If it's nice and smooth, leave it off. Cruise around. You know, if it's windy, leave it on. Or if you're sloping, turn it on.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah.
Yep.
Definitely. That's a really good tip.
Right. Okay, guys. We've been having a lot of technical issues here this evening with a lot of other things going on. We're going to keep this a little short. We will be back. We're definitely going to do some more reviews for you guys. If there's something you want us to review, email me at chris@flighttest.com or hit me up on Twitter at FT After Hours. We want to see what you guys want to see. So we're going to get out of here. We're going to do this again here in a couple weeks. And we really appreciate you guys listening to us. So we will see you next time.
It's my last podcast.
Oh, no way. No. Are you serious?
No, I just thought about it.
We can do this over the pond now. You know, we have the technology, right?
Yeah, except when that doesn't work.
Well, when the internet's up, we will be calling you and you can be on the podcast.
Yeah, but I will have the lag and it would be, it's not going to be the same thing.
I know, you're right.
Yeah.
But we can still hear your voice.
Yeah, so thank you guys. It's nice to be a part of this.
Yeah.
And
all right. Well, we're getting out of here. Go get something to drink.
Yeah. Have a good one.
All right. See ya.
See ya.
Well, I talked to Alex last night. I said, you know, hey, we're all going to breakfast and everything. He goes, well, we're probably going to skip breakfast because we got to go down and get everything all ready. Mm. Okay.
They're probably here late.
It looks like it, huh?
Yeah. Oh.
Check, don't turn check, my volume check, down this
check,
time.
Check.
Sorry.
There we go. How do I sound?
Pretty good, I think. Like normal. And Wayne.
And check 1, 2, 3.
Yep. Okay.
And check 3, 4, 5.
8, 6, 4. Okay, we're rolling since.
We're ready?
Half a minute. Yeah.
Oh, we were recording.
All right, here we go.
All right.
Hey, welcome everyone. We're kind of sitting down here for a little special FT After Hours podcast, and I'm going to try not to get too sappy here. This is supposed to be fun and a little entertaining, but this is probably going to be the last podcast to sit down with David Vindenstuhl. So we thought we'd get him in studio and get we have Wayne here, and we have Chad and myself, and we just wanted to sit down and just chat with him a little bit and you know, share some memories. Get his thoughts, you know, of everything, why he was here for his time. So one thing I wanted to start out with, again, I'm trying not to get too sappy here, but I don't know if anybody feels like I feel, but when, you know, if I was racing motocross, I had lots of buddies and everything and to share things with and scuba diving and the other adventures I've done. But when I got into RC flight, it seemed to be such a small market, so I still had a lot of passion for it, and like something new would come out or I'd see a product or something. I never had really anybody to call or to talk to. I'd get all excited, and it's not like you can go to your wife and go, look, honey, look at this plane. You know, the wives kind of look at you like you're an idiot sometimes.
Sometimes,
so,
yeah.
Okay, most of the time. So when Flight Test came along and, you know, I found you guys, that dynamic completely changed, and it really changed my outlook and aspect of everything with RC. And then when David came along, it just –
grew exponentially because, you know, David, you showed me things that like DLG, that you had to hand launch a plane, you know, and more into the thermal flying and actually got me into flying the quadcopters and stuff like that. So you being here and that, you know, the dynamic you brought just for me was unbelievable. And, you know, I consider you one of my best friends now. And I'll have to admit, I never told you this, but, you know, I didn't know a lot about you when you first came over here. You know, I knew your website and I knew some stuff through Chad and he got to know you through FPV and everything. But when I first met you and talked to you and everything, I'm not going to lie, I thought you were a little nerdy. But
this is interesting.
Yes.
You know, David's like, do I have to sit through the whole podcast?
But my problem was I didn't think you would like me.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. I thought, man, he's just on a different level than me and you know, different ideas. And obviously, you're very intelligent. So I thought, there's no way he's going to like me. I'm just, you know, an idiot, you know, that likes to fly RC planes. But turned out, you know, I think we share the same passion in a lot of things. So.
Yeah, we're all idiots.
Yeah.
We all get along.
Yeah, exactly.
But we're having fun.
Right,
yeah.
Right. So, Chad, why don't... You know what? Let's get in the hot tub time machine and let's go back a little bit. Just a brief summary of how you found David and everything, and how it evolved to get him over here.
Well, I think David and I communicated even before the show came along. I was building, I was flying FPV, and at that time there were hardly any FPV videos out there at all, and David's were some of the best, and he had a twin star design that I was very interested in. And you know, just getting into the hobby, there, what motors do you choose? It's all the same questions we get, you know. What do you choose? What do you do? And I contacted David for the specs of his twin star, and then I don't remember specifically how it all played out, but he and I started exchanging emails at that time. And then, I don't know, it was a couple months later, I said, hey, I'm thinking about starting this show. What do you think? And I think it was very surface level, like, oh, I like it, you know, and all that. And then it was a couple months later, I had already started the show, and I you might have contacted us with like an idea or...
No, it was, this is how I remember it. So yeah, you sent me an email about your twin star. And I'm like, there was a different tone to the email because I get tons of emails even back then. And I'm like, yeah.
Well, I have that way.
So I replied and you were nice and we talked back and forth and you sent over your first FPV video that you posted on online.
Oh, okay.
It was in the clouds.
Which I think it's still posted. I think you can get it on the Flight Test channel if you go to the first video.
Yeah, it was Cloud Serenity or like something.
No, it didn't have Serenity, and I wouldn't use that word. It was like Twin Star Above the Clouds or something.
Yeah. So watched that. I'm like, yeah, gave some feedback that I thought was like the feel of the video and that. And afterwards, you're like, oh, yeah, I have this production company. I'm like, oh. So I just gave feedback to someone that knows 100 times more about video than I do. So we're like, yeah.
That's funny. I never heard that part.
Yeah. So, we talked back and forth, and you said, yeah, I'm going to start an RC channel or like a YouTube channel
show
about RC. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, he actually wrote that.
Yeah, because, I mean, there's so many people that told me that, and it's just someone with a camera that's not focused in the back of a room and can't hear anything. It's just echoey.
Yeah.
And he sent me, it's like, oh, I shot the first video. Here it is. And it was before it was live, even.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, whoa. It's like, I had to watch it like 10 times. I'm like, this is going to change everything because it was so far beyond anything out there at that time. It was just, I like production value.
Right? Yeah, see, I don't remember all that. I just remember we were communicating, and because there was a lot going on then, because I was on RC groups trying to get feedback from people and, and understand the hobby before, because I wasn't part of any kind of group or anything. I just got into the hobby outside of meeting anyone, and so RC groups was my only connection, and I think some of my first threads were very, what do I want to say? I was under attack.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, you were, because we were.
Chris remembers this.
Yes. Pat and I were in there trying to defend him a little bit. You know, here's this guy just comes on, is trying to learn some stuff and throw out some information, and he just literally got attacked.
I'm well, because like, I posted some FPV flight videos, and there were the I don't even remember, but it's still all there. That's
right.
The interesting thing. We're talking about this stuff, and you're going to go see it.
Right.
But it was cool because Chris's signature, you know, said Canal Fulton or something
right.
like that. And I'm like, oh, wow, he's right up the road.
Yeah.
And so it's funny because and Wayne was even involved before the show because he came over to my house. the Christmas, my wife bought me a jet.
That was painful.
And he went outside and helped me destroy it.
Oh, so you were there helping him?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it was high wind, dude. There should have been
it,
no
it wouldn't
flying.
Have mattered. It could have been the perfect day. Yeah. That thing was going to get destroyed.
Yeah.
So anyhow, that's how David and I met, was really because of the Twin Star.
Yeah. And then you sent over, like, do you want to come visit for 3 months? I'm like,
no, hold on. Now I remember that differently.
Yeah, okay. Go.
Because you said, I'm thinking about going to the United States because you had other things set up too.
Oh, that's true.
You had Florida and all that. And you're like, do you mind if I come by your place? And I'm like, sure. How long? And you said 3 months. I'm like, I better check with my wife.
No, because I remember it as you initiated
this is
it.
Great.
You're like, do you want to come over and visit sometime? And I'm like, yeah. And I got some other things. Other people wanted me to come.
Right, yeah, so. I definitely invited you over.
Yeah,
the
so
3 months was your idea.
Oh, okay.
I remember that because that was a conversation with my beautiful wife.
Oh, this is
hey,
great.
Can we have this guy that
foreign
you
guy.
Have no clue who he is come stay in our house for 3 months?
We didn't even talk on the phone until
Skype.
2 days before.
Is that what it was?
Yeah, and I'm like, oh, I want to go to Niagara Falls. And you're like, yeah, that's like right around the corner. It's only like 5 hours away. I'm like, 5 hours?
That's how far you have to drive to the airport.
Yeah. I thought it was everything was much smaller.
Oh, you know, yeah.
Because it's just one country.
Yeah, it's just one.
Yeah. Yeah, so the immigration people were kind of nice. Like, so what are you going to do? I'm like, visiting this guy who sent me an email. He's like, oh, cool. Good luck.
Like, good luck.
That's weird. Yeah, we
put his name on the list because he won't be going back out.
Well, and then, and actually you can track it on the show because your first episode.
Oh, my gosh, it was so painful.
Oh, it's so fun to watch. Please, everyone go watch it.
No, don't do that.
Which one was it?
Yeah, I was going to say, I can't even remember the first episode.
The tricopter episode.
Was that it?
Yeah, so I talked about my tricopter.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, but we were sponsored by Hobby King at that point.
Uh-huh.
And Anthony got so upset that I had my T-shirt on. So I got much more advertising on his dime. So my relationship with Hobby King did not start out that good.
Oh, the RC Explorer T-shirt.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
So
okay.
He was he didn't like me from the start, but then he liked me, and then it went back and forth. I don't know.
I don't know if he likes you or not.
No, it's okay. I don't like you, Anthony.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'm at that point now.
So, okay, so you finally get over here and everything, and you're here, I don't know, a few days, a week, or whatever. So what were your initial – was it what you expected? Was it what you thought? What was your initial impressions when you finally got over
absolutely
here?
Absolutely. First impression, like the airport is just awful. You're like, okay, so I have to leave my fingerprints and take a picture, and you're like, you feel like a criminal. And then I got picked up by Chad, and it was nice, and I couldn't speak English properly. Had to think about everything.
Oh, you spoke just fine. It was just, and if you watch the early episode, you'll see.
Yeah.
Because it's so funny, because now David is completely fluent and knows more about pop culture than most Americans.
Right.
But I've always... English is easy, but talking it when you're not used to it, and you have to think about the words and the structure, it made it difficult. But saw this, we drove up to Chad's house, and I was exhausted, and the house is just gorgeous. Chad's house is absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
And walk in, and all my things about American culture. It's like all the what do you call that? The
preconceived notions.
Yes. like, oh, so they do have carpet everywhere. Like the carpet everywhere in the stairs, upstairs, downstairs. There's like carpet everywhere. And you're like, yeah, we went conservatively on the carpet because there's no in the kitchen.
Yeah.
There's none in the bathrooms. I'm like, how the
yeah, nobody should put carpet in the bathroom.
yeah, I don't know. So, yeah, it was, and Chad was like really excited to show the basement, and there was nothing in the basement compared to what it is now.
Oh, yeah.
It was so empty, but I thought it was awesome because so much stuff, and they had tools for everything.
Yeah, we had the worktop tables, and
yeah, it was, oh my, if you watched it, like the first video on installing lights mm-hmm. in your plane, that's how clean the basement was. There's like nothing down there. It was pretty awesome.
I do kind of remember the nice clean basement yeah. one time.
You could yeah. see the white walls. Yeah. And now you can't see hardly any walls.
Right.
Oh, I remember Chad asking me before I got over, do you have a strong stomach? Because we have like very greasy food. I'm like, yeah. It's like, it's pretty bad. whatever you think about American food, it's true.
Yeah. What are some of your favorite foods over here?
Favorite foods here is probably Funyuns.
I was going to say Funyuns.
Funyuns. Yeah.
Yeah. That is awesome.
He'll eat a whole bag at a time and get sick every single time.
But it's so good. It's
just, Funyuns.
Yeah, it's really good. And then, but yeah,
I hate
steak.
Funyuns.
I mean, so do I. I didn't think anybody ate Funyuns.
Well, Julie does too. She used to.
Like two.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, that's so funny. I'm learning stuff that, oh, this is crazy.
It's just, there's so much cheese in like everything. And the pizzas are just, it's like, there's a slab of cheese that they put an excuse for bread on, and they're like, yeah, it's a pizza. You're like, no, this is just, and then fried cheese
uh-huh.
as an appetizer.
Yeah,
yep.
It's like, if you don't know what you're eating, you're gonna die because you chew it and you're like, what is this? And you try to swallow it, and the whole thing
stretches down your throat.
Yeah, you're like, it's I almost died the first time I tried that.
That would be hard to explain.
That would be kind of awkward.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. This is too funny.
So, I'm trying to think. I think we were actually communicating well before the show because when my dog had died, your dog had died not long before that, I think.
Yeah.
And I had commented because you had announced it on...
Yeah, my site. I made
it. I think it was on your site. Yeah.
For it.
So I remember that. So whenever that was, I think we had already been communicating.
Yeah, for quite a long time, I think.
Before we get too far, I'm just curious because I know me being married and also you're married. What did your wife think when you said, honey, I'm going over to the States. I'm staying with this guy I've only talked through the internet with, and I'm going to stay there for 3 months. I mean, did she just be like, what?
No, she's like, oh, yeah, just go.
No worries.
No, it was, you can tell through the emails. And I talked to her about Chad before, so she warmed up to the idea. And the first time I went, I was unemployed.
Uh-huh.
So it just worked out really well. And she's like, yeah.
Go ahead and go, huh?
Yeah,
have fun.
Let's go. I hadn't spent one day apart from my wife before that.
Really?
Yeah, we always, each night, I never slept without my wife in a bed ever since we got married, and it was kind of weird.
Oh, heck yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man, gosh.
But it worked out great.
Yeah.
So I'm really curious because first impressions are always interesting to me.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Talk about when you first, because I don't think you saw Josh and Josh at the same time, right?
Oh, I did.
Was it? Well, explain it because I don't specifically remember.
It was at the Toledo show. I got here and I was here for like 2 days, and we went to the Toledo show.
Okay.
And that was when they started, you guys were recording, and I had no idea how things were done or anything. So I met Josh and Josh, and they more or less just said hi, mm-hmm. and they were in work mode. So.
Right.
So,
did Josh Bixler know you? I couldn't remember. I don't know if he might have known of you.
Yeah, he knew of me because the tricopter, you bought two boards I made. I made KK2 KK1 boards. Mm-hmm. And they were $150 a pop.
Wow.
That was way back in the day. But they were, it cost me like $90 to make it.
Uh-huh.
There was, yeah, and now you get them for $5.
Yeah. Unbelievable. So,
yeah, it's crazy. But you bought two boards and you built a tricopter. You got a guy laser cut some acrylic. And I'm like, that frame is not going to last. And you're like, oh, it cracked. I'm like, yeah, I know. But you had trouble getting that to work properly. And I know from Josh's side, he said, it would be cool to meet this guy. And you're like, yeah, it would be kind of cool. And it was like 2 weeks later, I was here.
Oh.
So you never told him.
I didn't?
No.
I didn't remember.
That's what I heard, at least. I
may not have. I'm not the best communicator. I only work in communication.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is a good question. What were some of your thoughts? Okay, let's look at it this way. So obviously you've seen some of the show before you came over and knew some of the people. So
yeah.
Usually you do that, or you see a show and you get images and thoughts of everybody and then you come over.
Yeah.
Could be a completely different experience.
Yeah. Josh Bixler is exactly the same.
Yeah.
So that was no surprise there. But
he was just in three dimensions.
Yeah. Yeah, you could touch him. But Josh Gott is a character on the show.
Yeah.
Or he's much nicer in real life.
I was waiting to hear what you said
there. Yeah. No, he's awesome. And he's a professional.
Yeah,
and he's an actor.
Right.
I like him a lot.
I mean, all the facts are real, like about his abilities and
he just plays up certain certain parts, and he poses like he can be mean. Like it feels like he's mean, but when you watch it, it's not.
Right.
But like because he questions your certain things, or like it can feel like he's mean, but it's not.
Yeah, yeah. I've had people say the same thing, but then you see him off camera, he's the nicest, down to earth, person. Yeah.
So that was kind of it. I didn't, since I already knew them from the videos, it wasn't like it was a shock or anything.
What about Chris and Wayne?
I can't remember the first time. What episode did we meet on? I can't remember which
I don't
one it was.
Either one of you can remember. Wayne,
no.
You don't remember?
No.
Nobody remembers.
No.
So, yeah, I think it might have been the tricopter. You were holding the mic.
Well, you were there for it.
Yeah, that was probably.
I don't know if you were there that episode. I don't think you were.
Might not have been.
Because I think you introduced me to Chris. And I'm like, hey, cool. And you brought out the rare bear, the blue rare bear.
Oh, okay.
You have that with you?
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Do you still have that?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
And a Trojan, I think you had.
Could be.
I'm not sure. I remember the blue rare bear.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a rocket ship.
Yeah.
I don't know. You put a huge
motor did you put on that?
I don't know. That was one of them things where we got two of them.
Right.
And we made one just as light and slow as possible. And you gave me the other one and said, I want you to make this fast and indestructible. So I loaded it with carbon fiber, all, reinforced everything, put a big motor and ESC on it. And
we never even used it on the show, did we?
We didn't. No.
Yeah.
Wow.
But I still fly it today. It's one of
It's a fun flyer.
Yeah, great flyer, and I use it for inverted landings all the time. It's great for that. You can't hurt it.
And yeah, knife edges on it. It's fantastic.
Yeah,
it's so easy.
Yeah, great plane.
Yeah, it's a really nice plane. I can't remember how we actually met, but I remember liking you from the start. Let's say that. There was nothing awkward or anything. It just felt like you were part of the team.
Uh-huh.
And it took me a couple of shoots before Chad said, you're like, yeah, he just more or less showed up one day. We talked over.
Uh-huh.
It was RC groups.
Yeah
over RC groups.
Right.
And it's like, he was not part of the team from the start, or like it just felt
very organically.
Yeah.
Same with Wayne.
Yeah. And
it just felt so natural.
Yeah, it was just a good group of guys. Yeah. I had the exact same interests and loved to hang out, loved to fly. And I'm like, this is perfect.
Well, we had to add people that weren't related to me.
Yeah.
Because Wayne and Josh Scott are both my cousins. So it was Wayne, Josh. Michael is not related to me. But, we had to add some other people in.
That's funny.
Yeah.
So what were some of the first projects or stuff that Chad gave you that you were deep down into the basement, you know, that we always talk about?
I gave them to him, or if, I think he...
I found stuff.
So yeah. So is that kind of...
All you have to do is, you seriously, you just put parts in the basement.
Uh-huh.
And put David down there, and he would come out with stuff.
So really, that's not too far of a misconception about David.
No, it's just real.
It's real.
Yeah. It's just, it's awesome. He's like, can I use whatever? He's like, yeah, just go.
Yeah.
Just take whatever you want. If you need to take it apart, you just do it. So I can't even remember what we did in the beginning. We just had fun. I helped prep a lot.
No, right. The most fun for me was when we did the Avatar gunship.
Yeah,
because
that was
I
awesome.
Felt like that was a good we were both full-time in the basement working on a project. I was cutting out the frame and designing frame and painting, and you were doing all the electronics.
Yeah, that was awesome. And the electronics, I made a 2x4 fly with two motors
right.
on it. It was it looked awful, but it flew great.
Yeah, you know, and I was thinking, we have so many projects like that where we have footage, because we shot test footage of everything.
Yeah.
Like, there's got to be so much test footage
there's
of things
so
that's
hours.
Just sitting on a hard drive.
Oh,
somewhere.
That would be so oh, cool,
man,
just to
yeah.
put a huge montage
yeah.
together and stuff like that.
It would
that.
Be 100 hours.
Oh, that's fine. We could break it up into parts.
Yeah, construction.
So do you think that's your most memorable project you did, or?
Yes.
Well, it's actually our most
one,
views.
Yeah, yeah. Most, video.
Yeah.
It got great traction in Japan.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, you can see where it's from. It's kind of funny.
How about shoot-wise? What do you think was one of your favorite shoots that you were involved in?
It's kind of interesting because the shoots I don't remember too much because you're stressed out.
Yeah.
But as soon as we stopped shooting, uh-huh. that's when we got it got interesting.
Yeah.
Because I remember everyone's like, yeah, you have to get through this. It's fun and that, but you have to get through it. But straight after, because we always shot on the weekends.
Uh-huh.
And we were doing sometimes 4 and 5 episodes in one day.
Yeah, it
right.
was like, yeah, 5 episodes in a day was not uncommon.
Right.
Which is very stressful.
Yeah.
I mean, you still have fun, but it's still...
You have a purpose. And
yeah, you
got to
get through the day.
Yeah. Right. So as soon as that was done... Everyone just picked up all the planes they had in the cars and just started flying, and we had so much fun.
Yeah.
And we were just—I had the wing Swift 2.
The Swift,
wing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, that was so fun.
And actually, just, there's a video flying in the storm.
Yes, that's
yeah.
one of
which
my
on
favorite.
The Gremlin
that's
channel.
One of my favorite videos. Watching
and
that.
That one, I got to tell you, David and I probably had so much fun. It was. I mean, it was pretty much tornado weather.
It was. It was.
I mean, I think if we would have. Just looked hard enough, we would have seen a funnel in the horizon. I mean, it was and David and I are just out there flying the Swift.
It was awesome.
And yeah, I mean, watch the video. It's on the Gremlin channel, and it's one
full
of the,
throttle. It would not move.
Oh, full throttle. Yeah, it was even flying backwards
yeah.
at times.
It was yeah, and you could get it was awesome because if you went behind this bush. You could get some slope action on the top. It would just shoot straight up, and it was, yeah, it was awesome.
One of my favorite was the time you had the that old Hobby King Spitfire, and you augered it into the ground. I think it tip stalled.
Oh, that was
the bomb drop
challenge.
Is that what that was? But I think was it after the shoot?
No, it was during.
No,
the
that
shoot?
Was during.
It's
okay.
in there, and you can see that's one of the first time you see you in the videos.
Okay,
you're like.
You're cringing.
Yeah, because you launched it for me. You helped launch it.
Oh, so you helped wreck it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's kind of your fault.
I'll take the blame. That's fine.
No, I was flying it and flew around, and Josh Bixler was flying his EPP FPV. It was super cheating.
Uh-huh.
And I was flying the Spitfire because that was the largest model we
had.
But
he wasn't cheating. You each got to choose the plane you wanted.
Yeah, but in the basement, that was the largest plane we had. And that was the only plane we had, kind of a deal.
You wanted the Spitfire.
I did want the Spitfire. It looked awesome. And put some bombs on it. But that thing, when you slowed it down.
Yeah.
So the first two passes, I'm going slower and slower. And you can feel the edge of the stall. And you're like, full power. And it torque rolls. And you're like, So I went down. And Josh was... leading by, I had to nail every single one, turn around, came in, and I was like, I slowed it too much, and it was way too slow, and just tip stalled like crazy, and I go full throttle on the way down, just to snap, but it just gets
it
worse.
Yeah, it didn't make it.
Yeah, so it just, yeah, it went full throttle into the ground. It was spectacular.
Yeah, it was good.
That plane still flies today.
Really? What's his name has
it? Mike Coolins. Coolins.
Yeah.
Repaired it. It looks fantastic.
Yeah, I think we had it. It was just kind of a mangled mess in the basement. And I think I was getting rid of stuff. And I'm like, you know, Mike, you want this? And he's like, yeah. And he completely restored it. And
wow.
It flies great.
And yeah. But he probably hasn't flown it, has he?
I think he flew it once so he could say he flew
it. Okay, yeah. Now it's sitting on the shelf.
Yeah, it's so funny because Mike cannot sleep if his planes are wrecked.
Right.
Yeah, like or a ding in it.
Yeah,
or
even a little crinkle or whatever. He like rebuilds the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
I always tell him he's in the wrong hobby.
Yeah.
You're stressing yourself out.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, no, go.
There is one story that I've never shared with anyone, maybe you, David, but I always think it's interesting. And Andre Elb, I think I'm calling him out on this, but my first, he's ColorX on our forum. And my first interaction, I think it was my first interaction with him, was him yelling at me.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's Swedish. And it was after the episode where you got slapped and he felt as though we were disrespecting you and, you know, you're one of the best pilots in the world and we bring you over and slap you. And I'm like, hold on. I'm like, that was all David's idea.
Yes,
too much of
it. So I'm taking the heat for it. Yeah. And it was all your idea and all I did was let you do it.
That's funny.
That was awesome.
But I want to give a call out to Andre because he is so tremendously helpful on our forum. Yes. Yeah, and he is a wonderful person and I forgive you.
And, you know, and that's one other thing that David really brought to the show. He brought that different dynamic to where, you know, the slapping, the shock, how about the shock collar? Yeah. You know, this is some of this stuff I would have never even thought of, not in a million years.
No,
you know?
None of us here would have.
No.
So that dynamic was great.
But we had to stop that because it's a friendly family show and getting slapped and shocked.
Well, I was challenged by another forum member. That said, you know, hey, I have kids and other people have kids. And now if they go out slapping each other and thinking it's funny and it's at first I was kind of like, well, lighten up. You know, my son's not slapping anyone. But, you know, I started thinking about it. And I'm like, well, my son doesn't watch the show as regularly as they do. So I wanted to be sensitive to that. And, he challenged not that there was really anything wrong with it, but is there a more positive approach?
Yeah.
And I couldn't deny that there absolutely was. And that's when we started picking people to compete for.
Uh-huh.
So what we would do is pick like forum members and say, hey, I'm playing for this person. And, you know, some Josh would say, I'm playing for this person. And whoever won, we would send a gift to that person.
Mm-hmm.
And that was much more on the positive side, and people like that just as much. So, you know, that's what kind of altered that.
I miss it, though.
Yeah, them worse, you know. Yeah. Like the day I showed up on the shoot with the shock thing, and I was like, Josh and I are going to show. I'm like, no, I thought you were really joking. And, you know, sure enough, you're out there, and I just thought that was hilarious.
And it's funny, Bixler flies much better under pressure. The more pressure you put on
it,
he flies better.
He really does. Like, pour it on, and he just does better and better.
And I'm completely failing at this thing.
I'm the opposite. I'll choke under pressure.
I did too. Crazy. We tried it. We have some, I don't know if we posted that, but me and Chad tested the shockers the day before, and we were out flying.
I don't think we ever did.
Yes, we did.
I don't think we ever posted.
More footage. Because
we were out and we put it on different places to try it and see how it went. And Chad is holding the phone and the triggers, like, okay, here we go. it's so funny when you put it and you get it on a nerve.
Uh-huh.
Oh my gosh, it hurts so bad, and it contracts that muscle.
Uh-huh.
So like I had it on my leg and I almost fell over and I had it in the crook of my arm and the whole
arm. It pulls
arm,
your arm up.
Yeah, it just twitched the whole arm and it was, it feels like two needles jammed straight into your flesh. And when it's on the highest setting, oh my gosh, it hurts so bad.
Uh-huh. That's funny.
I forgot about that video.
Yeah, it's awesome. You're like, oh, it hurts so bad. It just makes me mad. It's like, I don't know why, but it makes me mad. Because you can't do anything about it. You have to keep flying the plane.
Right, right. Yep.
Like, you can't shake it off. You can't do anything.
And you're not sure when you're going to get it, yeah. So you're anticipating that shock. Yeah. Oh, forget it. There's no way.
It's on the wall of memories.
That's right.
We can still use it. They're still working.
That's funny. Yep. You know, another dynamic, too, that you brought for me was, you know, initially, and I know we've talked about this 100 times about crashing and everything. Well, even when I got over the crashing and it's okay to crash and everything, well, watching you crash, I couldn't tell you how many planes and 90.
All of them?
All of them. And, you know, 95% of the time, you laughing so hard, you're usually on the ground rolling around after you completely destroyed something. You know, I kind of grasp that even more. So, you know, that's something.
Yeah, it's better to make a memory and then you get to repair it and see if you can make it again.
Well, and people think I'm weird, but that's what I actually enjoy is the repairs. Not all the time. I mean, sometimes you build something beautiful and you go out and you crash it. You're not looking forward to that repair right away. But in general, like, I love helping people with repairs. I like the challenge of, can we reconstruct it?
Yeah, it's awesome. It was funny. The second time I got over, Chad had a plane hanging in his basement. He was like, yeah, I flew it a couple of times. It was the Funjet Ultra. He's like, yeah, I fly it on a 3-cell.
No, I bought that at the Toledo show that you and I went to, the first one.
Right. So when I got back over the second time I got over, you're like, do you want to fly it? I'm like, yeah, we'll fly it. And it was a 3-cell setup and had a Hacker motor on the back. Mm-hmm. So it was going like 80, 90 miles an hour.
At least.
And then he's like, oh, I want to clock it. Let's put a 4-cell on it and clock it. And it didn't use a separate BEC, and the BEC quit mid-flight on the 4S while it was full throttle.
Yeah, flying towards my face.
Yeah. And Chad is in the middle of the field holding this radar gun, and he's like, and he goes maybe 2 feet above your head. Uh-huh. And you're like, 100 miles an hour.
And I turned around, and it was disintegrating.
It's just pieces everywhere. I'm like... your son had friends over, and we were trying to find the speed controller, and it took us a solid 20 minutes of like 8 people looking for the speed controller to find it. And oh my gosh, that was a crash I actually felt bad about.
Well, you couldn't tell from the laughter.
No, it was funny, but I felt bad.
Now, was there any video of that?
No.
Was it?
No, that was just us clocking it. And it just had shut down right after it went over my head and just went into the ground.
It augured so bad. That was awesome. Oh, do you remember? Because I remember you telling me the first impression you had out of from me, because I brought my tricopter over, and it was snow on the ground, and... the tricopter had been through my luggage and all the transport and put it back together and went out, flew it. And we're sitting indoors because it was so cold.
Sitting in my kitchen.
Yeah, sitting in your kitchen and just flying it. And I didn't know there was a steel frame on the door.
Well, no, the door is steel.
The whole door?
Yeah, but there's glass there.
Yeah, so I had the
in between
window.
The glass, there was – it's a steel door. And he's sitting in between, so he flies out to the tower, and he's sitting in front of the doors.
Oh.
Yeah. They're like French doors.
Yeah.
You know, it's glass in the middle of each one.
So, yeah, I was out there, and I crashed because I lost the signal and it crashed. And we walked over, took it in, repaired it for 2 minutes, and flew it again from the safe spot. Crashed it again, walked in, flew it again, crashed it. And it was like, four or five times, like just normal. Today it's normal, but then back then you're like you thought I was a professional, I think, or something. it's just a
professional crasher.
I thought you thought I was I didn't crash, or I don't know.
Oh,
so I just remember you're like,
what are you doing? What's going on?
Did the right guy come over?
Well,
I remember it was probably the second night you were there. It wasn't the first. You went right to bed, I think.
Yeah.
But we went down and built antennas.
Yeah. Yes, we did. That's right. Yeah, we built antennas like crazy, and we even have pictures from the first night there.
Do we?
Yeah, like the 5.8 antenna we built.
Yeah,
I'm holding that up, and we built the three-turn helical for your 900. Mm-hmm. And then we built the bow tie.
Right.
We built a lot of antennas.
Yeah, just got on an antenna building spree.
Oh, that was a good story. My first, I was sleeping, and all of a sudden, I hear this knock on this door. And I'm like, David, time to go to the basement. I'm like,
What?
I'm like, it's like 4 o'clock. What are you talking about? It's like, and then I hear the whole house like.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Tornadoes.
Yeah.
Like, time to go to the basement. I'm like, oh, okay. I just walked down with pajamas and like started making antennas.
Well, they'd tell him why it was time to go to the basement.
Yeah, there was a tornado warning.
Yeah, like you kind of skimmed over that.
No, I thought I would explain that. Okay,
so, yes, so the whole cat, house, our son, my wife.
Yeah, they were trying to sleep, and I'm like, I'm not going to sleep. I'll build some antennas.
Yeah.
So we built antennas at 4 in the morning until like 7, and then they calmed down.
Yeah.
And stuff to get.
Yeah, we live in Ohio, and right. So that lots of tornadoes.
Yeah, that was your first experience with a tornado warning. Yeah. You're like, what, are we getting bombed? What's going on? Yeah, why are we going to the basement?
Yeah, down in the basement. Okay, I'll build antennas now.
Oh, jeez.
I better die this way. Than just, yeah, that was kind of interesting.
Oh, my gosh. So, Wayne, what you know, we've been talking about some of the things David brought, you know, to us while he's here. How about you? What are some of the things that you're going to take away from this?
I remember the first time we were going down to CEF, mm-hmm. and I was never used to fat sharks and doing the FPV stuff. And then so we stopped at the gas station, and mm-hmm. I said, hey, let's – so David breaks out his tricopter, and then he looks at me and goes, hey, you want to go for a ride? So I'm like, okay, mm-hmm. sure. So I didn't know what to expect, so I put the fat sharks on, and next thing I know, he takes off, and he goes up this big, huge hill. And, I mean, he's just flat out getting it. Next thing I know, I'm leaning against the truck. I'm like, okay, I need some stability here. And, man, he took me for a ride up that hill and down, and he was spinning around. And I remember when we stopped at Georgia and did that peach.
Yeah.
I seen you did it again this year. But, yeah, that was an awesome time going down. That was a lot of fun. But I got thinking about the other day, too, is when we were down at Chad's house and we were flying, and we were flying across the street, and we had the radians up there. And we were just sitting up there soaring. And I don't know how long we were up there. Yeah. We were up there a while.
Yeah, it was like an hour.
At least an hour, yeah.
It's all those times. Those are absolutely the best.
Yeah.
And it's
yeah, go.
Well, I was going to say, what's funny is we, you know, that's kind of what the show is, just capturing right. good times and having fun. And no matter how much you roll the camera, like there's still all those times, you know, because I know people are probably listening to this saying, oh, I wish I could see that or
yeah.
this, or, you know, and.
No, that is not fun to watch, though.
You have to
experience it with people.
Right.
And that's what's thermaling about. You can't show that. It's not impressive.
Yeah, no. That would not be fun to watch.
That's like watching paint dry if you're not there.
Yeah, but it's completely different when you do it.
Right.
But the other thing David brought, for me anyways, was I have problems flying other people's stuff. I just, you know, I'm always afraid of crashing and destroying it. David is like, no, go here, try it. You know, and he jams the radio in your hand. No, it's okay. And flying the DLG for the first time. No, just do it. You know, like, are you crazy? And next thing you know, this thing's in the air and you have no other option than to fly this thing, you know. So.
I thought you did good. You were shaking like crazy.
Oh, yeah. But well, we all know about my shaking.
Yeah, right.
that was interesting because I didn't know that you were afraid. So I think that was good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But you've helped me grow past that. You know, you just like, hey, it's all about having fun. And I think that's what attracts people on the show to David is the fact that, you know, in a world where it's totally crazy, people are nuts, there's so much anger. But yet you got David who comes in with this joy and this, he's just totally a blast to be around. And people see that and they want that. You know, people mm-hmm. look at that and like, yeah, that's absolutely what I need in my life because we got enough craziness. We need to have fun, you know, and that's what it's all about. Like, come on, just do it, you know. Okay, so you landed it. Okay, pick it up, fix it, let's do it again.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Oh, that's what I was saying was one of the – well, we do have this maybe on the Gremlin channel as well. It's funny, all my favorite scenes are on the Gremlin channel.
Yeah.
But it was the Y6.
Oh, yeah.
That was probably one of the most
– That was the most dangerous thing I think we've ever done.
It's our biggest fail episode ever, and it's probably my favorite one.
That was funny. Yes, tell a story.
It's worth it. Well, you just have to watch the video because it's worth it just for the look on Josh Bixler's face.
Yes. Yeah. He was terrified. I was terrified. I kept telling Chad, I don't know if this is a good idea. Dude, I don't know. Well, it's fine, you know. And I think afterwards you kind of thought about it a little bit.
Well, because a lot of times we just go and we don't really assess.
Right.
The light was going down, so yes, it had to be done now.
Well, David had this idea to carry the
A Thunderbolt.
Oh, the Thunderbolt.
Yeah.
And it's a huge, I don't even know what size it was.
It's pretty huge.
And he wanted to lift it with the Y6 and release it and have Josh Scott.
Yeah, someone fly it down.
Fly it down. But needless to say, it didn't even get up.
No,
but we almost died in the process.
Yeah, it was funny. We're like, yeah, just beating on it. It's just let it go. And it's just like, it's like tethering a quad and trying to fly it.
But the look on Josh Bixler's face was made it worth it.
Right. But the funny thing was is you guys tried it once and it was pretty scary because the thing was a near miss for you, Chad.
Yeah.
And then you're like, well, okay, let's do it again.
that was kind of scary.
Yeah, I mean, I had a lot of fun doing it, but then I didn't want to release it as an actual episode because I didn't want kids out there doing it. I mean, it was really stupid.
Yeah.
It was, and that's how we learn, kids.
Right.
Yeah, so. Watch other people bleed and learn from that.
Yeah.
Fortunately, we didn't bleed on that one.
Yeah, that was pretty close, though.
On that one.
Yeah.
What's funny is you can see it in the early openings. You can see my index finger on my left hand has got a big gash, like it's healed, but there's a big scar across it. Ironically enough, it was from the hobby area and a hobby knife, but I wasn't actually building a plane. I was building a prop for another video that I was doing. So all the builds that we've done over the years, and I think I did a rough estimate of how many planes Josh and I built the first year of flight test, and it was well over 250.
Wow.
And I do the math. Mm-hmm. Like, that is insane.
Yeah.
And Josh still builds that many planes. But to me, going from, like,
nothing
to that, that was pretty crazy.
Right.
So we've had our fair share of injuries. And then not long after that one, I got, I think it was the middle finger on my right hand. I was prepping what's the little park jet from Hobby King? It's Park Jet.
Yeah, Park Jet.
Yeah.
Yep.
I was getting that ready, and I forget what it is. Oh, I had to reverse something in the transmitter, and I had it powered up, and I reversed the throttle by accident. And when it went, I reached down to grab it, and the prop struck the center of my middle finger, and so then I got blood everywhere, and it was supposed to be ready for the show the next day. So I had to rebuild it with a bum finger, and we did get it going. But, after you get struck enough times, you start to learn.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of injuries, though, you're kind of well-known sometimes, David, of the stuff you've done and injuries here.
Recently.
So talk a little bit of some of the injuries you've had working at Flight Test.
So I stabbed my finger. That was one of the most memorable ones. I was here alone. And it was
this is the best story.
Ooh. It was the 3D printer.
The 3D printer attacked you?
Yes. I was here alone, and it just pounced on me. I was here, and I was learning 3D printing software, and I printed some stuff. And there was a scraper that came with it. So it prints on a platform. You take off this platform, and you scrape off your print. So I had this. I held it in my hand, and I was pushing downwards, and I held it. So my finger is, like, in the crook of my finger, on each finger. That's how I held it, and I just scraped it, and it was so tight. And I thought it wasn't sharp. It was so sharp. And it went straight into my finger, into the bone, what I think is
almost
the bone.
Almost cut off your fingerprint?
Yeah. It was pretty bad. So I'm like, and you freeze, and you panic. And you're like...
Is
and
you're it
like,
still
it's,
there?
It's cold.
Yeah.
And you're like, and there was just it was just pouring blood like crazy. And I'm like, oh, this is not good. Okay, so I just hold it. I need to rinse it off, and then I need to put it together. And so I ran into the sink, yeah, and I rinsed it off and I held it and walked back and I called Chad because I'm like, I probably should go to the emergency room. And so I called him, but it didn't pick up. I'm like, I need to fix this because it was dripping again. And then so I was walking fast and I was holding the hand high, and then I was just. Then I woke up on the floor. So the best thing is when you wake up after being passed out, it's a phenomenal feeling.
Yeah,
that's like one of the most interesting things because you're like, it's summer. Oh, it's nice. And I'm in my comfortable bed. And I'm like, it's not too comfortable, but yeah. And I look up and it's like, I see a clock. I'm like, what?
Where am I?
I'm like, am I late for school? I'm like, where's mom? I can't. And for some reason, I was thinking about a vacuum cleaner. And I was like, wait. And I look over and this huge pool of blood.
Oh,
and my finger. So it goes from the summer, you know,
yeah.
Bert's tweeting to yeah. Horror film.
Because I remember this image. It's very vivid. Like my bed and I woke up during the summer holidays and the window was always cracked open. It was so like perfect temperature in the mornings. It was like a little cold on your face, but you had the blankets and this bird song and the sun coming through the crack. And that was kind of like the image I had in my head. And then you wake up on a concrete floor. And I pulled my finger up, and this thing started to congeal. So the whole thing just like dangling, like it was like the size of my hand just hanging from my finger. And I'm like, oh, at least it stopped bleeding. So I'm like, oh, okay. So I need to fix this. So I walked in, I rinsed it off, and I saw all these little tiny particles from the 3D print. When it prints, it's there's holes in that. The bottom of it.
And they were in your finger?
They were in my fingers. Ew. I'm like, oh, okay, I need a little tweezer.
Another scraper?
Yeah. So I went in there and I picked them out, and they were in there good. And I'm like, ding. Ding.
Do you have a rough idea how long you were out? Like when you got looked at the clock, was it a minute, 2 minutes?
No, I think it was probably 20 minutes.
20 minutes?
Oh, wow.
Because no way. Really?
I hit the floor pretty hard.
Oh my gosh.
And because I looked at my phone and I saw when I called Chad.
Uh-huh.
So it was roughly 20 minutes.
Wow.
So,
did I call back?
No, not until. I was all good. I got it because one of the things, one of my worst fears is going to the hospital in the U.S.
Okay.
Because that all
mine
my...
Mine too.
Yeah, I agree with you.
All my other, like, notions of, or like how it works, all my...
preconceived notions.
Yes, thank you. about the U.S., the medical system, I did not want to go.
Uh-huh.
So I'm like, I'll just chance it because it would, yeah. Afterwards, now when I look at it, stitches would definitely have helped.
Helped
Let's
out.
See.
It's not too bad, but I don't have any feeling there. At
It'll
that
come
point.
Back when most likely when I cut mine, my index finger, I didn't feel anything for like 6 months.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. It feels weird. Yeah.
And then when it started to come back, it actually would start, it would almost like shooting pains.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They say it's the nerves reconnecting.
Yeah. Oh, I have something to look forward to.
Yep.
So that was the worst injury, and I was alone, and I really didn't want to go to the emergency room. And so I just manned up. And then the next day, we had to shoot.
Nice.
So we... you were here. Mm-hmm. We were, because I made just gauze around it and that, but I needed to be able to actually move around and do things. So Chad comes in and I'm like, I put some popsicle sticks during the night, and then the morning Chad's like, we have a laser cutter. Let's cut a
yeah. We actually cut a little form.
A form for the whole finger, and then taped it. And I had that for a couple of days until it healed, so I could stretch it out and have it completely stretched, it would heal properly.
I'm surprised you didn't just, you know, put it together and get the CA glue out.
It was too bad. I've tried that before.
Uh-huh.
The CA works great on small cuts,
uh-huh.
but if it's too much, it comes off again.
Well, and it also, if you put it like inside where the meat touches the meat, you keep it from healing.
Oh, yeah, right.
So, that was the RV Jet episode that I have the the gods on my finger, right. And the K gliding.
Where people made fun. David, why are you pointing?
Yeah. So that was it. That was the worst injury. Other than that, I don't know. I haven't had too many bad injuries.
Not too
just
many.
Just small yeah. ones. Right. The normal ones, when you fly into your face and stuff like that.
And we averted one two nights ago. We had some fireworks, and I was looking for a bottle to, you know, let him launch from. And David's like, I'll hold it. Oh. He's like, I've done it before. And I'm like, no. I said, you know why you're not going to do that? Because you leave in a few days.
Yeah, that's true. Mm. Karma or...
Like, that's almost a guarantee something is going to happen. I wouldn't let him hold it.
We did other stuff, though. Actually, can plug my Vine account at this point because we were having fun, me and Christian, doing Vine videos. And
yes, do not do that.
Yeah, so one of the things...
Whoever's listening, do not...
The first thing, I like fire.
Yes.
So I play a lot with fire, more than I should. And if you take soap... soap and water, and you take butane.
No, we'll let people watch your stuff. We're not gonna teach people how to play with fire.
Okay, so anyway, it's a trick to make fire burn on your flesh without getting
burned.
Which
you should not do.
Yeah, but it's fun.
It's fun. Yeah, the videos are awesome.
Yes, so I did some videos on that, and also some long exposure photography. And then another trick you can try at home if you know what you're doing is lighting steel wool, the end of a steel wool, and then having that on a metal string and then spinning it around over your head. It shoots off these sparks like crazy. You have to be somewhere where it's wet or like a concrete or whatever. So you
will catch things on fire.
Like crazy.
So, wow.
But it's pretty awesome.
So yeah, just we'll let David share that on his Pyromania channel.
Yeah, it's my Vine account. It's turning into that. But yeah, it's funny. So,
all right. Well, I don't know how long we've been going here.
53 minutes.
Oh, coming up on an hour. Well, we'll start to wrap this up, but just a couple things. One thing I want to know from the times you've been over here and everything, what is your favorite? It could be quadcopter, whatever, some type of copter. Or I'll tell you what, let's do both. What is your favorite copter to fly, and what is your favorite airplane?
Favorite copter is my tricopter.
Okay.
I always get back
That's
to
an easy answer.
Yeah, I kind of figured that.
Straightforward. If I have to take, if I take that away, Blade Nano QX, fantastic.
Right.
But also the flip.
The little flip quad?
Ready to fly quad.
Oh, my gosh.
You like that one?
Yeah, it felt awesome for what it was.
That episode where David and I were sitting in my truck flying. That was one of the most fun moments I've had shooting in a while.
Yeah, because we were it's always nice when someone else is freezing.
Yes. Yeah.
And you're nice and comfortable.
Yes,
and
thank you, Dave Knopp, for letting us be comfortable.
It's like when
it was seriously like minus 15 degrees out and he's outside and we're sitting in the truck.
It was awesome. But it's like when you have to when your wife has to get up to work and you can stay in bed.
Yep.
That is the absolute best.
Yes. So was the truck running in the heat on?
Oh, yeah.
It was great in there. We're just flying around and having a good time. And poor Dave Knopp is out there and has like 10 layers of clothes.
He did an awesome job, though.
Yeah, that was great.
So fixed wing.
Favorite fixed wing is probably my Neos discus launch glider. That was a phenomenal flyer. And I had to sell it because I'm going to go back and I can't ship it back. Mm-hmm. So I sold it quite a while ago. And the new owner seemed to be very happy with it. It's a fantastic bird. It just told you where the thermals are so well. That was a lot of fun flying that. But yeah, there's so many planes. I don't know. I like the Biggin. It sounds egocentric, but it just...
Well, you put a lot of time, heart, and effort into it. Why wouldn't you like it?
Yeah, but even the first hot wire cut one just flew fantastic.
Right.
It's just weird. It flies so good, and it's just a flat foamy for us. So, yeah, very egocentric, but I keep on flying that all the time. I never get bored of flying it.
Right. Okay, last thing... Final thoughts for you. Anything you want to say? Anything you want to let people know?
I'm going to start RC Explorer again.
Okay.
Doing videos on that channel and making my weird stuff again, I guess. So Yeah. So.
Well, you're still going to, I'm sure there'll still be crossover.
Yeah. There's going to be, I'm going to continue working with flight test and some capacity and, yeah, crossover and help each other out with different things. Mm-hmm. And I would like to thank everyone that watches and listens to flight test, because it's because of you guys that we can actually do what we do and the reason why I could come over in the first place and have this experience. So it's
been and we all thank you, David, for mm-hmm. coming and playing in our sandbox.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's pretty awesome. It's a good sandbox. There's no cat poop in it.
Well,
very little.
You just don't see it gets cleaned up each night.
Yeah, it's awesome. I'm going to miss you guys.
Yeah, I'm almost speechless at this point. I'm going to miss you tremendously,
yep.
tremendously. Yeah. So, but I'm glad you got to come over and we got to hang out. And hopefully down the road, you know, we want to come over and see you. My wife's already excited to go over to Sweden.
Anytime.
You know, and hang out. So, but it's been a great experience and we're really going to miss you tremendously.
Yeah,
so,
thank you guys.
All right, guys, we're going to get out of here.
It's open house time.
Yeah, open house time. We got some people coming. We're going to do some flying, hang out, and have some fun. So we appreciate you listening, and we'll see you next time.
See ya.
All right, thanks. Bye.